Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. If that didn't stir you, you need a bigger spoon. Man, hallelujah. What some singing this morning. And, you know, I was thinking about all the hymn songs that we sing and all the specials this morning. That is to prepare you for the Word of God. And I hope that you're prepared this morning. And I hope that your heart is open and ready to receive the Word of God with gladness as we should this morning. Well, I wanted to finish my series on 1 John, but I didn't want to knock the pastor out of the way to get it done. But anyway, Wednesday night I have another opportunity, I believe, to preach again. But y'all do pray for our pastor. When I came here, I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, fine. I didn't want the pastor to be sick so I could preach. So I promise I'm not slipping him anything. He's sick. That's between him and the Lord. Amen. I didn't have nothing to do with it. I'm praying for his recovery now. Amen. But I do appreciate the opportunity to preach this morning. Appreciate you being here. And I understand you have a choice. You could not be here. But I'm glad you made the right choice by coming to the house of the Lord. Well, look, if you will, and I'll get there in just a second, but I want to set the tone for the message this morning. And I'll preach on this. And I was listening to a song this week, and the title of the message is In Christ Alone. And the song I was listening to this week was In Christ Alone. And boy, I was listening to that song, and if anybody knows me, I love music. I listen to a lot of sermons. I listen to a lot of songs. I especially like choir songs, so I go on YouTube and I look at a lot of choir, youth choirs, adult choirs that sing, and one choir was singing In Christ Alone. Wow, what a song. And I was thinking, you know what, that is our motto, that is our life, that it's in Christ alone and in Christ alone. And so I believe if we'll take it and think about 1 John and think about John this morning. Now, some say John is an older man writing as a father to his children. If you'll notice three times in just this chapter, in chapter 2, he says, my little children. As an older man now, the Apostle John is writing, and he's writing to, of course, the young Christians, but he's writing to the Christians. And I believe that the day that he was writing for is a lot like today. There was a lot of apostasy in the world. There was a lot of so-called religion in the world. My friends, I'm going to tell you, in this day, there's a lot of so-called religion. But I'm going to tell you what, you can have all the religion and I'll take Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I see that John gives us the purpose of the book of John. And I was studying this. I want to give it to you real quick. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he gives us the purpose of him writing the whole book of 1 John. It says, these things have I written unto you. Why did he do that? That believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, let me say this. As John was writing this letter, he's writing to Christians in an apostasy world. Now, let's say he's writing to us today, too, through the hand of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what, we're living in an apostate world today. We're living in a time when I believe the end is so close. And John wants us to be reminded that if you're truly born again, that you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now look at the next verse. He says, and this is the confidence that we have where? In Him. I forgot the count now, but I believe it's close to 15 times John says in Him in the first John. He says in Him. And can I tell you this morning that all that we have is in Christ. And all that we'll ever have is in Christ. I'll preach on that subject, in Christ alone, after we pray. Father, we thank You. Lord, we certainly love You. And Father, without You, we can do nothing. And Lord, we ask that You'd come and meet with us in this place this morning. And Father, may You get all glory, all honor from what's said, what's done. And Lord, for the hearts that are here today, God, that, Lord, are not open, I pray, God, that even right now, Lord, You would open hearts. And Father, I pray for the ones that are lost this morning who have never trusted Christ as their Savior. I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, we do lift our pastor up to You today. Even right now, Lord, would You move among him. And Lord, heal him and give him strength. Lord, we ask that all things be done in your name, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to give you a few things this morning. And I believe whenever the last Sunday night, whenever I preached on 1 John chapter 1, we saw how to have fellowship with the Father, having a fresh fellowship with the Father. And we know that we got to come out of the dark and into the light, and that's only through Jesus Christ. But now that we're in chapter 2, I want us to notice something he says here, and he deals with our fellowship, of course, still. But he tells us that fellowship only comes by one person. Notice, if you will, verse 1 of chapter 2. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin sometimes." No, read your Bible. "That ye sin not." That's his desire. "And if," notice that word, "if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You know, this morning as I look at these verses and as I study and as I pray, I kept seeing a reminder here in chapter 2 as he's reminding us how we're going to keep our fellowship, and that our fellowship is only by Christ that we can have fellowship with the Father. Now I want you to notice three things this morning, and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice the audience. The audience. Notice, if you will, again in verse 1, he says, "My little children." He writes to us as, or writes to the reader as a little child. Writes to us as young, maybe young Christians this morning. Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you just got saved. But maybe, you know what, really in the spectrum of things, if you've been saved for 100 years, you've only been saved just a speck in eternity. We are really all young Christians, because why? We've not entered into eternity. And the purpose of verse 1 and verse 2 is to remind the children of God that it's in Christ alone that we have fellowship in Christ, with God through Christ. Every now and then, you know, a father needs to set his children down and have a heart-to-heart talk with them. You know why? To just encourage them and to remind them of some things. You know, I sit down with my kids sometimes very nicely, and I remind them of some things. Amen? I sit down with Brody every so often, and me and him was riding in the truck the other day, have a little father and son time. Brother Crawford's got me hooked on finding an ice chest on the side of the road that blew off people's trucks. So me and Brody's getting into it. So it's weird things you get involved in, you know. And I found one. I was driving from the church yesterday, and I saw one. So I went and got Brody, and we came back. We got the ice chest. Hallelujah. Free ice chest. Woo! It's one with the wheels on it, too. I love it. Hallelujah. God bless me, the first one. Amen. And as we was going down the road, you know, it's amazing what comes up in conversations with kids. But you know, ain't it good just to sit down and talk with your kids and just have fellowship with them and just maybe remind them and encourage them to stay the course and to remind them that there is an adversary out in this world that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We got to remind our kids also that there's a Savior in heaven who is watching over them and who cares for them and who loves them. This morning, maybe you just need to sit down with the Father and be reminded of some things. Maybe you just need to be an audience of attentiveness this morning as the Father's wanting to fellowship with you. And as He's wanting to speak with you this morning, you ought to be glad you got a Father that wants to speak with you. I remember many years ago, me and my father got a little crossways. You know what I mean? I was wrong, he was right. But I remember a year went by before I ever spoke to my father again. My parents were divorced, so I lived with my mom, and I remember that it was a little over a year before I'd ever spoke to my father. I will tell you what, my friends, even though you may say, well, my dad's not the greatest dad, or my mom's not the greatest mom, that's beside the point. They're still your parents. You're still to honor and obey them, and you're still to give them that love that is due to them. And I remember the day that I got right with the Lord, and I called my father, and I apologized, and I just wanted to talk with him. And you know what? My father's a lost man, and I figured that I should be the Christian. And I called him. Boy, and I'm going to tell you what, it was sweet fellowship whenever I talked to my father after over a year. And I remember just having a conversation with him, telling him what's going on in my life. And you know what? There's nothing like that relationship with that father and that son or that mother and that daughter. And you need that relationship with God this morning. You ought to be the audience that God wants to speak to us this morning. And we ought to be the ones with our ears going, Lord, what do you got to say to us? I want you to notice the second thing. There's the audience. He said, my little children. But I want you to notice the great thing. He says, he says that if ye sin, he said that you sin not, right? That's always God's desire that you don't sin. Matter of fact, He's made every provision that you will not sin. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Word of God that you can hide in your heart that you might not sin against God. He's given you friends. He's given you preaching. He's given you all these things. But He says this, notice, and if any man sin, you know what? God knew that man was still going to be a sinner. Why? Because we have this flesh. We're robed in flesh. By the way, don't use grace as an opportunity to sin. As a child of God, as a child, you ought to desire not to fail the Father. But notice what He says. If any man sin, He says, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Notice, I like that word. The righteous. You better be glad that's in your Bible, by the way. If it's not in your Bible, you ought to throw your Bible away. Amen. Because Jesus Christ, who? The righteous. Ooh, I'm glad He was righteous. I'm glad He was pure. And I'm glad that He was the advocate for who? For us. Notice the audience. Now we see the advocate. I looked up the word advocate because Webster knows best. Said it is one who pleads the cause of another. Whew, glory. Now we're going to get on the other word, propitiation, here in a little bit. These two words are different. An advocate means somebody who's with you. Means somebody who's always present and pleading your case. You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was writing some things down and as I was allowing the Lord to speak to me this morning. I thought about this. I said, you know, the old devil always tries to come in the courtroom and tries to appeal our case. But aren't you glad the God, a heavenly Father's already put the gavel down. He's already said it's over with. It's settled forever. It's settled in heaven. It's settled in earth. But listen to me. The old devil still likes to try to appeal it, doesn't he? I tell you, it kills me sometimes. So watch now. I'm originally from Alabama. We have the death electric chair. Y'all, I guess y'all used to, you know, now it's lethal injection. But I remember sitting at my house one time and I was watching this and boy, they had all of this evidence on this guy. And they had done found him guilty like 30 years ago, you know, and it takes them 30 years, you know, before they do anything with him. And they were finally going to put him to death. But I remember his attorney kept making appeal after appeal after appeal trying to get him out of that. His sentence was already made. But yet they still wanted to appeal it even though the evidence was overwhelming in his life. You know what? Even though the evidence is overwhelming sometimes in our life, can I say the judge has done put the gavel down in my life and said, you know what? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and the old devil can appeal my case and appeal my case. But listen to me, I'm still going to heaven. My name's still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because I have an advocate. He is there, He's pleading my case ever before the Father. Now notice why we need an advocate. It says, because if any man sin, we need an advocate. We should always strive not to sin, but if you do sin, remember this, that Christ will plead your case. He has made provisions for you not to sin, but He's also made a provision for you when you do sin. Boy, that's a loving Father. I want you to look over in Luke, if you will. Look over in Luke. Boy, a great verse in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22, if you will. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I want you to notice what happened here. You know, God doesn't want us to sin. And this proves that He doesn't want us to sin. This proves it. Notice, if you will, verse 31 of chapter 22 of Luke. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Simon said, uh-oh, that's not good news. What if the Lord came to you this morning and said, Tracy, Satan hath desired to have you, you'd be like, uh-oh. Kelly Kelly, he's coming for you. You'd be like, uh-oh. But what if the Lord said, but wait a minute. Notice verse 32. But I have prayed for thee. I'd be like, it's going to be all right now. Whew, the Lord of heaven is praying for me. Notice what he says. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. He says, you're going to go through a hard time. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But I am with you. My rod and staff, they're going to comfort you. Listen, you're going to go through those times of trials. You're going to go through that. But be reminded, you have an advocate. Man, can you imagine that whenever the Lord knows that Satan's going to come and try to tempt me, that he's praying to the Father. Lord, give him strength. That his faith fell not. Whew. You know what? I don't know about you, but I know about me. There is nothing like the prayer of a mother. I'm glad I had a praying mother. I remember hearing a story one time of a young man. You probably heard this story. A young man, he was on the battlefield. They were just about to be at the flag, and the flag had fallen down, and one of the captains said, son, why don't you go and stand that flag up and show that we're here. As the battle was raging, bullets were flying all over. He said, sir, I can't do it until 1 o'clock. Captain looked around and said, would there be anybody else? He said, sir, I'll go, but it needs to be at 1 o'clock. Captain shook his head, didn't realize what was going on, and time elapsed, and at right before 1 o'clock, the young man stood up and said, Captain, I'm ready to go. I'm going to go stand our flag up and show them we're here. As the bullets were flying and the bombs were blowing up around them, it said that the young man stood up and walked very casually, and he stood the flag up in the middle of the sand. Turned around and walked back as bullets were flying by and bombs were going by. And he came and he sat down and he said, sir, the job is done. The captain said, young man, I got to ask you one thing. Why did you have to wait till 1 o'clock? He said, because that's the time my mama prays for me every day. And he said, I knew that if mama was praying at 1 o'clock, all was going to be all right. Oh, glory. Hey, listen to me this morning. You got one greater than mama praying for you. You got an advocate in heaven called Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ alone, can you fight the battle? Can you stay in the battle? Ooh, glory. I'm glad he's praying for me. Look, if you will, over in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I want to give you another verse. John chapter 17. Verse 9, I about got a shout coming on. John chapter 17, notice what he says. He says, I pray for them. By the way, this is a red letter edition of King James Bible, so I know that it's Jesus speaking, but he says that even if it's in black, he's speaking too. Amen. Notice what he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Whew. If you're not saved this morning, you're in trouble. If you're part of the world system, matter of fact, if you read John chapter 1, he says that if you're in the world, you're not with God. But notice what he says here. He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Woo, glory. Aren't you glad there's somebody this morning, even when everybody else fails you? You know, we always say that. I'll be praying for you. Uh-huh. We forget. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven who's an advocate for us. And He doesn't forget your name. He doesn't forget whenever you're going to sleep. He doesn't forget when you're having surgery. He doesn't forget when you got a cold. He doesn't forget when you feel all right. He is praying for you. He is pleading your cause this morning. We have an advocate. Just as we have an advocate, we have an adversary. That's why you need an advocate. Wow. The Lord Jesus of heaven is praying for me. In Christ alone this morning is my defense. Aren't you glad He's your defense this morning? I was reading over in the book of Psalm, chapter 7, verse 10, or Psalm 7, verse 10. It says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. And then I read down in Psalm 62 in verses 2 and 6. They seem almost the same, but they're different. I want to read them for you. It says, He only is my rock, and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Then verse 6 says almost the same thing. It says, He is only my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. But it changes a little bit when it says, I shall not be moved. First one said, I shall not be greatly moved. The second one said, I shall not be moved, period. Why? Because I have a defense. I have an advocate this morning. Do you realize that you can go your life and not sin? Do you realize you have that capability in you? You know why? Because you have an advocate. But you know what? Also, the Father understands that we're robed in the flesh. If any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He's pleading our case this morning. I'll give you the third thing. I want to give you the third thing this morning, the appeasement. Notice, if you will, verse 2. Verse 2 says, and He, now who are we talking about? Jesus, the who? The righteous. We're still talking about Jesus, the righteous. And it continues and says, He is the propitiation. Notice that word, the propitiation. Took me forever to learn how to say that word when I was in school. I finally got it down. So I'm going to say it again. And He is the propitiation. For our what? Sins. But not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Notice this morning that propitiation means appeasement. Appeasement means to appease. Jesus Christ was our substitute. Jesus Christ was took our place on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah chapter 53, if you will. Isaiah 53. I want to show you something. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 gives us the death of Christ and what He's going to go through. I just want to look at one verse. I want you to notice verse 6. Isaiah 53, 6. Notice, if you will, verse 6. It says, and I like that first word, all we. By the way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we, like sheep, have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, now notice this word, have laid. That word laid in your Bible means to strike. Have stricken him or have laid on him what? The iniquity of who? Of us all. He have striken the Lord Jesus with our sin. He has laid all of our sin. Why? Because He was our propitiation. He was our appeasement. The appeasing of sin. The appeasing of the law was only in Christ and Christ alone. This morning, Jesus took all of your sin and all of your sorrow and all of your shame, and He died on the cross for you to be your propitiation. You realize this morning that He said it, that not just for yours, not just for the saved, for He said not for your sins only, but for the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now notice this morning that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for who? For everybody. For our sin. Your sin needed to be forgiven. And at the cross of Calvary, it was. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are accepting that sacrifice or that substitution or that Savior who died for you to be your propitiation. Notice what He says again. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. You say you want to have fellowship this morning. You say you want to fellowship with the Lord God Almighty. Listen, my friends, the only way you're going to ever fellowship is with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in John? He said that I am the way, John chapter 14. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if you're wanting to come out of darkness, if you're wanting to come out of lostness and out of a dead life, He said, the only way you're going to come is through Christ and Christ alone, who is the way, the truth, and the life. How is He the way, the truth, and the life? Because He was our substitute. Christ can only be your advocate because He was your substitute. He can only plead your case because first He went to the cross and He paid for your sins this morning. And then He says, you know what, I'm not just going to pay for their sins, I'm going to pray for them. Wow. You know what, it'd be something. And if you want to do this, it'd be fine, but somebody come up to me after church and say, Brother Wiggins, I'm going to pay all your bills off. Now, don't rush up here right now, but I don't think anybody in church has that much money. But wouldn't that be great if they come up here and said, how much you need? They said, but you know what, I'm not just going to pay it off. I'm going to keep your account full for you. Whew. And then I'm going to just pray for you that your account runs not out. That's what God said. He said, Jesus paid it all. He said, but also I'm going to give you some credit. Then He said, I'm going to pray for you. Whew. You know what I figured out in life? When you know that somebody's praying for you, you can step a little higher. Hallelujah. Hey, listen to me this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm just going through a rough time. Preacher, I'm just going through the valley. You better listen to me this morning. You got a God in heaven who's up there and He's hearing the prayer of His Son on your behalf. Whew, wait a minute. Oh, well, that makes me feel a little better. I was talking to Brother Zellner this morning. He's going to be having surgery Tuesday. He said, I don't worry about coming. He says, I know the Lord's going to be with me. I'm fine. You don't have to be there. You know what? Even if I didn't show up, Brother Zellner, I know one who will be there with you. Brother Lasseter, I know who was there with you. I know, brother, you know, you think about this morning. When you are by yourself, you really aren't. I don't know if that's good English, but it sounded good. Because Jesus is always with you. He's always wanting to fellowship with you. This morning, we are the audience that He's speaking to. We do have an advocate this morning. And we do have appeasement. Why? Because Jesus Christ was our propitiation. He was our substitute. He was our sacrifice. And He is our Savior this morning. You say, preacher, I'm not saved this morning. Oh, I got good news for you too. Because at the cross where I first saw the light, all the burden of my soul and my sins were rolled away. Why? Because Jesus saved my soul. It's in Christ alone. I feel sorry for people out there who are in churches this morning that are hearing, it's Christ plus this. It's Christ plus this. Why? Because it's not. I feel sorry for people who read those books that says, well, yeah, Christ did this, but you got to do this. Listen to me this morning. It's in Christ alone. Feel sorry for those folks who had to go somewhere to get and ask somebody to forgive them of their sin and pull the little curtain back. I'm glad I can just go on my knees. And I say, Father, please forgive me. And He said He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because He has appeased sin this morning. Do you belong to the family of God? Well, it's only in Christ alone that you can enter in. Do you have sin in your life and you want to give it up and give it over? It's only in Christ alone you can be forgiven. Do you want a fellowship with the Father this morning? Well, it's in Christ alone that you can fellowship with the Father. I long to fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I hope you do too. You know what? You're going to go through times in this life where sin's going to sit in on your life. And you're going to wonder, what do I need to do now? The Bible tells you, you have an advocate. You go to the advocate and you tell him what's going on in your life. You tell Him what sins have invaded your life and you let Him have it. And I promise you the blood of Jesus Christ will cover your sins, will cleanse your sins. Some of you need to come to the altar this morning. You need to give up some things. You need to give over some things to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him have it this morning. You need to come and you need to put all those sins that have invaded your life, that's broken your fellowship with your Father, who's broken that sweet fellowship with God Almighty. You just lay it at the cross this morning. Just lay it at the altar. You say, but preacher, I'm not saved this morning. Well, I got good news. We can take this Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Because why? You have an appeasement with God through Jesus Christ. You got to come to Christ. Well, doesn't moms and dads, I know my kids are not grown, but I I'll just say this in a general term. I have family members who have been here who have tried everything in the world but Jesus. Y'all seen them? Doesn't it break your heart? You know, let's say Jesus is the pulpit this morning, not to downplay it, but just for an illustration. It seems like, boy, they always try to go here. They always want to try this. They always want to try this. And you're like, no, you're missing it. You need to go to Christ. Boy, it breaks my heart. I've had family members, close family members, and boy, they were out here. They wanted to try this. They wanted to try this. And I'm going, no, you want to try Christ. You want Christ. It's in Christ alone. And boy, I'm telling you what, the day my brother got plugged into Jesus, he tried everything else. One night my brother called me. He said, Michael, he says, I don't know what to do, but all I know that something's in my heart telling me I need to go speak with Pastor. He called our pastor, which is our cousin. He called me a few minutes later. He said, I got born again. I said, whoop, whoop. My brother called me. He said, I feel different. I said, you are different. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He met the appeaser. He had tried everything in this life. But the day that he went to Christ and Christ alone, my brother's serving the Lord now, working at a men's home in La Russell, Missouri. Who would have ever thought? You know why? Because he met the God of heaven. He found out it was Christ and Christ alone. Maybe you're that person this morning. Let's stand this morning. Take your hymn book, turn to hymn 161, softly and tenderly. Hymn 161 this morning, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, we do pray that softly and tenderly, that God, you would call some people to the altar. Maybe it's to lay down their sin. And Lord, realize they have an advocate this morning. Maybe it's those who are going through a hard time, Lord. Maybe those who seem like they're going through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, may you remind them you are with them. Lord, you're praying for them. And Lord, you're for them. So, Father, we ask this morning that you bless the invitation, that you get all glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 161 is Brother.